The parable of the sower is found in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8. Today, I'd just like to read to you the version that we find in Matthew 13, verse 1 through 9. And then I'll read Jesus' interpretation of the parable, verses 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And later on, for the interpretation, Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus did not simply bring forgiveness of sins when he came. He also came to bring the kingdom of God, to heal every brokenness in every dimension of human life, whether social, economical, racial, emotional, physical, psychological, and spiritual. What I'd like to look at today is how Jesus tells us we enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean to enter? How do we enter? This parable provides an unusual answer. I want to lay it on your heart and for you to think about the implications of it. The kingdom of God comes by hearing, so take heed how you hear. That's it. That's the answer. Let's just take a look at that statement. The kingdom of God comes by hearing, therefore take heed how you hear. This is not typical to us. Earthly kingdoms come through coercion and force. They don't come through hearing. Usually, leaders almost always are great at getting a hearing. But the kingdom of God comes to people who are good at giving a hearing. Listening and understanding is the primary skill of the kingdom of God. Without it, you can't enter it, and the power of the kingdom can't come into your life. Without it, you can't proceed. Your ability to sit down and listen, your ability to take in what somebody else is saying, your ability to truly listen and hear is the most important ability. That's not true in earthly kingdoms. If we look at most leaders that we know, they are great at sound bites, at lobbying, at picketing, at getting the message out. They're great at talking rather than listening. Coming into a room and into a meeting and get people to do what they want. For example, when Alexander the Great brought his kingdom to a town, everybody knew it was there. There were only two kinds of people left in the town after Alexander established his kingdom. You were either dead or you were in the kingdom. That's it. That's even true in democracies. If 51% vote for one person for president and 49% for another person, what happens? Well, the 49% have to serve, have to submit to the person they voted against. Because even democracy is a coercion of the majority. I've been unusually convicted this month in studying this particular truth, that the kingdom of God comes by listening, by hearing, by receiving, by taking in, by understanding. See, the kingdom of God is different. The difference is the seed, which Jesus has told us is the Word of God. It's the Bible. The kingdom of God moves forward on the basis of hearing the truth. It's like a seed, not like a boulder. When a boulder comes, it smashes the ground. It does so suddenly with great force. It transforms the ground externally. The boulder actually just breaks the ground. But the seed, it comes very quietly. It revolutionizes the ground internally. It transforms the ground organically, gradually, gently. The seed transforms the soil by reorienting and rechanneling its energies, its nutrients, and its minerals into life-giving processes, like a garden or a forest. In the same way, human kingdoms, whether it's an Alexander the Great kingdom or a democratic process, only superficially can affect you. But the kingdom of God comes by getting the truth and having it penetrate our hearts. We don't understand this. We're not used to it. I would suggest to you, if you look at your heart for a minute, that many of you who are not able to give yourselves to the Christian faith, haven't been able to give yourself to Christ, and many of you who are Christians, but who are struggling mightily, not growing, unhappy, confused in your Christian faith, are in that condition because you think that the kingdom of God ought to operate the way the kingdoms of earth do. See, we're like John the Baptist, who was in prison and sends a message to Jesus that says, "Are you really the one who's bringing the kingdom? Or should we look for somebody else?" Now, why was John the Baptist suddenly full of doubts? John the Baptist was a tremendously courageous person. He either didn't understand or he forgot that the kingdom of God does not move forward the way Alexander's or any other kingdom moves forward. See, John the Baptist is sitting there saying, "If you're the king and I'm the servant of the king, why do I hurt so much? Why am I in prison? Why am I about to get my head sliced off?" Isn't it possible that's one of our problems right now? We think, if Jesus is real, and if I really am a Christian, and he's the king, why do I still hurt? Why is there so much evil around me? Why is there so much pain? Why am I suffering? Why am I in prison if I am the servant of the great King? Jesus says to John, to you, to me, that's not how my kingdom works. My kingdom doesn't work like earthly kingdoms. It doesn't come through like a boulder and smash everything. It doesn't come in like Alexander. It doesn't come in and just wipe everybody off the face of the map except those who submit to me. No, my kingdom comes gently, like a seed. At first, it looks vulnerable and weak, completely underwhelming, because the kingdom of God starts as simply as a message. That from the world's viewpoint is as weak, as strange, and as upside down as possible. The message that a king came from heaven and he triumphed by being tortured and killed. And because he was tortured and died for our sins, we can have him enter our life. People scorn it. They laugh at it. They say, there's no way that's going to change my life. There's no way that's going to change the world. That the way to really be rich is to give away my money. The way to really have power is to become a humble servant to other people. The way to really grow and be transformed into the likeness of Christ in wisdom and love is to go through lots of suffering, pain, and learning dependence? What a stupid message. That's going to change the world? Yes, Jesus says, absolutely. My kingdom is going to triumph through love, not force, which is going to create loving obedience. That's the reason why it says that the soil is really transformed in the man, the woman, who's got a heart that receives the truth. Jesus Christ is saying, my kingdom is very easy to reject, to miss. It's very subtle. You have to really listen. You have to reflect. You have to think. And as a result, there are many, many people, Jesus is saying in this parable, who think they're in the kingdom who are not, who think they've heard him, and they really haven't. Jesus often says to people, have you really listened? Have you really heard me? Have you really thought it out? For example, in Luke chapter 9, a man comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, the typical earthly leaders, what do they do when someone comes and says, I'm sold out for you. I want to be in your movement. I want to follow you wherever you go. They say, you're just the kind of person we're looking for. What does Jesus say? In the very next verse, he says, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not got a place to lay his head. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus saying? He's saying, do you really know what you're getting into? Have you really heard me? Are you really ready for my kingdom? Or are you just trying to get me to serve you in your kingdom? The whole principle of the parable of the sower is to say, make sure that you know you've heard. And there are three warnings. The first is, beware of listening to the word of God with a hard heart, with the intellect only. You see, it says some of the seeds fall on hard ground, and it never penetrates. A seed can't germinate unless it goes underneath. And that means it's possible to be in contact with the Word of God regularly. You could come to church. You could adhere to the creed. You could read Christian books. But it's never made a personal penetration. What Jesus means, I think, by this is these are people to whom Christianity is only theoretical. Has there ever been a sense of the Word of God thrilling you, amazing you, coming right at you personally? Have you ever felt that the truth, in a sense, had a hold of you? The truth of God had you? If not, you've been listening to the Word of God with a hard heart, maybe all your life. It's only intellectual, theoretical, meaning it's not penetrating the heart. Second warning, beware of listening to God with a shallow heart, only emotional. See, the second soil, the second group of people are people who receive the Word of God with joy and they spring up. This is talking about people who get very excited about Christ. They have moved beyond the theoretical. They have said, Christ has changed my life. They're excited about Him. They do feel like He's opened their eyes. These people are likened to shallow ground, where there's not enough roots for the plants to take the heat of the sun. They can't take the heat. And though they have said Christ has changed their lives and they're very excited about Him, as soon as troubles come into their life, as soon as suffering comes into their life, as soon as they begin to lose important things, they turn their back on God and they say, what use is Christianity? What use is Jesus Christ if I can't have these things? And Jesus says, that shows that though they had an emotional experience and these people thought they were entering Christ's kingdom, really what was happening was they were trying to get Christ to fulfill their agenda to enter their kingdom. Put it this way, they wanted a blesser, not a savior. They wanted help and relief, not salvation. They saw Jesus Christ as a service provider. As long as they had services provided, they had joy. As soon as He was no longer helping them meet their goals, they had it with Him. Which shows that the things they really worship were the things they lost in the heat. Do you hear that? The things they really worshiped, their real gods, were the things they lost in the struggle, in the discipline. They had never transferred their trust from themselves to their Savior. They had never transferred the kingship of their lives from themselves to Jesus. They had kept it all along. They thought that their primary problem was they were a sufferer in need of a solution, when actually the problem is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. In other words, they received the Word of God with joy, but they were not convicted of sin. They had this personal experience of Christ, but it did not lead them to repentance, to them saying, I've been living my own life, trying to be my own God, and now I'm going to let You be my Savior and my God, instead of me being my Savior and my God. That statement never happens to the second group. They heard with a shallow heart, emotion only. They thought Jesus was going to fill a bunch of needs. Thirdly, and in a sense the last warning, don't listen to God, the Word of God, with a divided heart. This third type of soil, they have root. They stick around. They don't run away, but they fall. The seed fell amongst thorns, and the thorns are springing up and making it hard for them to bear fruit. You know who these people are? The second soil was full of plants who actually were controlled by the things of the world. But in this group, these people's lives, they're committed to Christ. But there's a division. They worship God, they worship Christ, and they worship the things of the world. As a result, their Christian life is choked. Too often, they don't see themselves changing. They don't see the healing going on. They don't see the real power of God coursing through their lives. As a result, they're not sure they're Christians. They're in doubt. They're anxious. My friends, do you have ears to hear? Some of you are committed to Christ, and you have seen that your problem is that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Yet you haven't been able to really understand the message of the kingdom so thoroughly as to see that the only way you're ever going to be holy and happy is to give Him the lordship of every area. If you don't, you're being choked by a divided heart. You're not like the first two soils. The first two eventually think that Christianity is a crock and they leave. You know too much. You've got Christ in your heart. You can't go back, but you're struggling to go forward. Other things are crowding Christ out, choking Christ out. You have a divided heart. You need, as the psalmist says, for the Lord to unite my heart to fear your name. In summary, don't listen with a hard heart. Let the power of the word come in and begin to affect you personally. Secondly, make sure that you don't listen with a shallow heart. Recognize that the word of God says that you are not simply a person in need of help, but that you're a sinner, that your main problem is that you've been in rebellion against God. You wanted to live your own life independently. Even if you've been a morally decent person, you've been trying to keep God out of your life. What you need is forgiveness. What you need is a Savior. If that sounds too radical, too conservative, too fundamentalist, too nasty and too negative to you, it's because the seed of the Word of God, the message of the kingdom, has not gotten all the way into your heart yet. You haven't really understood it. Get beyond the mind only. Get beyond the emotions. Get beyond the compliant will to the place where the Word of God gets down and creates a loving obedience. You know the hymn that says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Parents know when you've just gotten a kid's will, but not their heart. When the kid just does the letter of what you've asked, but it's begrudgingly done so. Parents know they haven't won their kid's heart. Similarly, until the message of the kingdom shows you what He's done for you, until your heart says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my heart, my all," you haven't really had ears to hear. Hey, most important thing, some of you are unhappy because you're forgetting you're the soil, He's the gardener. I know we've all got thorns in our lives. We've got stones and rocks in our soil. And you're saying, "I just don't know what to do about it." The soil's job is not to get the rocks out. The soil's job is not to pull your thorns out. That's the gardener's job. It's your job to receive the seed. It's to hear the word. It's going to the gardener and saying, "Oh Lord, I've got thorns in my life. Please take them out. I've got rocks in my heart. Please pull them out." And what's He going to say? He's going to say, "Of course, that's what I'm here for." And all God's people said, "Amen." Amen. Join me in prayer. Our Father, we ask that if You would grant us and everybody here would see that the lack of the kingdom power coursing through their life comes from a lack of willingness to truly hear with the whole heart the word of your kingdom, to submit to the gospel, to see what you've done, to give ourselves to it. If you would just show us that, we know that our lives would be changed. We ask you to do that. And oh, Gardener Jesus Christ, pull out those rocks, pull out those thorns. We will listen. We will hear. We will obey. We will give ourselves to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.